Good morning. This is John Patika Jr. with the Patika Wealth Management Group. Thanks for joining us. This is our next addition to our speaker series here to give you kind of an update on what our thoughts are and what's going on out in the markets. I'm with John Patika Sr., who is our senior portfolio manager on our team. He's part of the Director's Council with UBS, was also on the Forbes Top Wealth Manager list in the state of Florida in 2020. And he's going to be here and going to provide some thoughts on some questions that we had coming in. I've kind of compiled all the main questions that have been kind of centered around, and then we're going to go ahead and get started. And Senior, thanks for joining us. There are a lot of questions around the election results, so I'm just going to go ahead and let you shoot from there.
Thank you, John. Everything's politics right now, so I'm not surprised by that. But to be clear, my role in your life is to protect and grow your, to help you protect and grow your money. I don't have any special knowledge on how this thing is going to exactly play out. I have my opinions. But everybody on this call is very intelligent, very well informed on current events. So let's just go with what I do know. This won't take long. December 8th is the last day to resolve all disputes and certify the elections. December 14, the electors meet and cast their ballot. This is already November 20th. January 6th is a joint session of the House and Senate. They account the electors and announce the results. So what, in my opinion, again, what Trump's lawyers must do is get to the Supreme Court and get a remedy that overturns several states. So in my opinion, the only one, and again, I just want to keep my opinion, everybody has their own. In my opinion, the only way is to prove without a doubt that the Dominion software dealt Trump voters from the bottom of the deck to Biden. To me, that's the only way. You got to get several states. You got to have some kind of common ground to get this done this quickly. If they find that and they can prove that, we'll see. You have to let it play out. That's the one thing I know. It's going to happen fairly quick. The second thing I know, the market was very afraid of a blue wave. And the blue wave didn't happen. They didn't get 53 or 54 Democrat senators. The Republicans will have at least 50 seats. You know, there's a Georgia runoff. When you have at least 50, it's very unlikely that any major legislation is going to pass that will affect the economy or the markets. Almost impossible with 50. I guess it could be done, but there won't be a new Green Deal. There won't be an end to the filibuster. There'll be court packing, new states, carbon credits, new taxes. It's really tough to get done with 50 senators. Everybody knows how that works. I'm not going to get into it and bore you. But what I do expect, the third thing, I expect a stimulus and an infrastructure bill. That's going to pass. I don't expect tax increases along with it. The market likes that part. They like the sugar. And they have responded positively in the past. They have responded positively recently to the anticipation of stimulus, infrastructure, and no tax increases. They'll like it when it passes. I believe it will. Finally, look, if there are any surprises, we'll make our adjustments. That's all I have to say about that. I think everybody knows the rest of it.
We've been getting a lot of questions on the vaccine. Could you touch on that?
Yeah, vaccine, I'm not going to bore you because everybody knows that this is an amazing thing. The messenger RNA is amazing. I think the Operation Warp Speed cut through the regulation, amazing thing. Pfizer and Moderna, Pfizer applied today for an emergency application. They, the big thing with them, it's got to be kept at about, 90 degrees below zero. So mostly theirs will go to hospitals and nursing homes that can handle that. But remember, it can be thawed for 3 days and still be good. So there's a lot of uses. Moderna is right behind them. They've got over 90% also. Theirs is normal refrigeration. that would probably be spread out to the general population. Both of them need two doses, 2 weeks apart. So you go in, get a dose, wait 2 weeks, get a dose, and I think you have to wait one more week before they consider you effectively immune. There's over 40,000 people in those trials, so it is a big reference. And to talk about 90-some percent effective, the flu vaccines each year are somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 to 60% effective. We think there'll be enough for about 20 million people by the end of the year. Johnson & Johnson won't be far behind them with a single dose. So all that looks really good. There's light at the end of the tunnel. The stocks themselves, the vaccination stocks, haven't gone up dramatically. I think the market sees it possibly as a one-and-done thing, unlike the flu shot where it's a cash cow for these pharmaceuticals because every year you got to come in and get a new one. That may happen. They just don't know. I don't think that that'll happen. I think that it could be a one-and-done, but we'll see. That's not my expertise. When they announced it, the entertainment stocks did better than the stocks that announced the vaccines. Hotel, airlines, cruise ships, they all did tremendous. Europe did incredibly well, had a huge month after that because, you know, they've locked down a lot. Oil stocks went up nice on the assumption of more travel. These two companies have created an incredible amount of wealth in just a month.
Yeah, you definitely saw those stay-at-home stocks go down, you know, with Zoom and Peloton. But you talked about a little bit about energy and oil. You know, we get a lot of questions on that. Could you give us some more deeper comments on oil?
Well, I'll touch on that real quick. There's a lot of talk about banning fracking on public lands, and I think he could probably do it with an executive order. So you got to make your adjustments. There's basically two major companies working the public lands. They would suffer. You know, our role is to find the ones that work on private lands and would benefit. We've already made some adjustments on that. Pipeline, same thing. If regulators get too tough to build new pipelines, and we already seen that in with Dominion's in Virginia, I think they shut down the Keystone Pipeline again. I thought that was done, but they shut it down again. So if it gets too tough to build pipelines, then the existing pipelines become more valuable. And you have to look at it that way. That's how we have to look at it. Finally, you know, the vaccines, Europe really did well on those announcements because of their shutdowns. And I think summer and late summer driving season will be back this year. Get a shot and off you go on the vacation. I mean, that's what we're hoping. Obviously, there's some risk there, but I think the risk is really dramatically cut.
Senior, you always talk a lot about inflation. And are you seeing any type of inflation right now?
Yeah, I always worry about that. I'm a little concerned in 21 and maybe the beginning of 22 for the first time in a while. Basically, the thing to remember about inflation, and you just have to remember, it's simple. If your income or cash flow is fixed, it'll be worth less when prices go up. That's simple. And so in 2008, when they printed money, the quantitative easing, if you will, all that money didn't work its way throughout the economy. The M2 just grew roughly 6% throughout all that. This time, with the various deals like the PPP and PPP loans and the extra unemployment benefits, it did get into the economy. In fact, it was the fastest money supply growth, they call it M2, since 1960. It was 24%. And you don't notice these things. They just happen. Prices are way up on commodities, rubber and metal and agriculture products, to name just a few. And lumber, I think, is up 90% this year. Now, inflation does help real estate prices. Some people benefit from inflation. Actually, the equity markets over time have proven to benefit when there's inflation in there. They got some pricing power. But bottom line, inflation needs to be watched. You have to watch owning 20-year bonds and 15, 20, 30-year bonds, because most of those things are fixed, and fixed income does poorly if we actually do get into an inflationary environment. We'll watch it for you.
Gotcha. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about possible shutdowns, and you're seeing some of that in Europe and, you know, and some different governors here in the States. Could you talk a little bit about possible shutdowns?
Yeah, good luck with that. I don't know how you can do it. I'm sure they'll be talking about it, but I don't think so. But even if they do, let's just say I'm wrong and they actually get a shutdown, the scientists say shutdown, I don't think it would crash the economy or the market like in April. If you think about it, everything was going full speed back then, and then it got shut down immediately. You know, right now, airlines, restaurants, hotels, you name it, they're all at a fraction of their full speed. So if you took them down, and I think there's already been an adjustment in a lot of businesses, it would not be good, but I don't think it's a crash type scenario like you had before.
And what are your views looking ahead now as we're kind of getting to the end of 2020 and looking into 2021? What do you see as far as the markets in 2021?
Look, over 90% of the S&P stocks have reported already. 86% have beaten their estimates. The third quarter growth was a ridiculous 33% up, you know, it was shut down. Hopefully we never need to see anything like that again. We'll probably get about a 5% growth in the fourth quarter. There's still a big hole to dig out. You have something like 7 million people on unemployment, but there are 6 million job openings. They have to match them up as best they can. I think the unemployment was around 2 million before the pandemic. My thinking for next year is we go back into the plow horse type economy that we had for so long after 2009, where you had a 2.5%, 2% growth. It's like we call it a plow horse because it's like the economy, these business people are like a racehorse and they're pulling the government along, which is a dead horse, so you get a plow horse. Hopefully that'll at least get us 2.5% next year and going forward. Finally, there's going to be something to watch. It'll be really interesting. There's going to be different kind of winners in 2021. In 2020, we had all-time record sales in RVs and boats and bikes and things like that, swimming pools. And it reminds me of that joke where the second happiest day in a man's life is when he buys a boat or an RV, and the first happiest day in his life is when he sells it. You know, a lot of that stuff on the used car market, and I don't think that those will be the winners again this year. I hear stories about bicycles, you can't buy them, and things like that. I think this year the economy is going to broaden out. You'll get companies with which we're looking to buy into with a lot of cash. They're going to be able to buy some really good corner lots for restaurants. You know, maybe 50% of these restaurants in this country, I saw one report, might go under by the time the vaccine goes and people are back out in full force. There's going to be some awesome properties. It's unfortunate that they'll go under, but the companies with cash will be able to buy. I remember after 08, Warren Buffett had all the cash. I think he loaned Dow Chemical $20 billion at like 9% plus an equity stake. If you have cash in a tough time, you can buy good stuff. So that's one thing that we'll be looking for, is companies with cash that are able to buy and expand their business cheaply. With more people going back to the office, they're going to be buying different things. American innovation and entrepreneurship will dominate. I think that's the story of next year, is be nimble. But I think the economy is going to move forward, and we're going to get past this volatility and this election, and we're going to get past this terrible pandemic. And sometime late spring, early summer, I think there's going to be enough doses out there that if you want one, you'll be able to get one. And it'll open up the economy again.
Just on top of that, too, as far as the economic front, there were some really good economic numbers that came out this week with that, you know, you touched on home sales. This is the fifth month in a row that we have sales have risen for home sales. Matter of fact, we blew past the level from February, the pre-pandemic levels, now up over 18.9% before this whole thing even started. Also, the consumer is in pretty good shape, not only with low interest rates and the affordability with housing, but the retail sales are now up from, they're up 5.7% from October 2019, which is really good. You know, to put that in perspective, from February before COVID to the bottom of April, you know, when we started doing lockdowns and uncertainty, retail sales went down 21.7%. And now with this increase in October, we are 4.9% higher than the high water mark of February, meaning that the consumer not only made a V-shaped recovery, but almost into a check mark. Senior, you know, those things are positive, but what are the risks right now that you're seeing or pitfalls?
Yeah, last thing. You know, the risks are that I'm wrong about the vaccines, that something goes terribly wrong, and that these 80-90,000 people that these two companies put in there, that wasn't enough and it didn't work, and that, you know, something on the vaccine side goes wrong. I don't think so, but, you know, you have to watch for that. Interest rates, if they start to climb, huge risk. There's a lot of debt. Obviously, everybody knows that's a whole different discussion. Tons of debt out there for government. If they start climbing, that's a big issue for investments. For example, if interest rates on a 10-year treasury would go to 5%, I'm certainly not predicting it, but it would give an alternative to stocks. And people might go there, and there'll be less people in the equity market. It'll help the fixed income type people, but I worry about that. I don't think it'll happen. Not anytime soon. Government can't afford to let that happen. And I hate to get to politics, but if you had two Democrat senators elected in Georgia, it goes to 50-50, you got more chaos, and you got the possibility of some of those things happening. There'll be a fear that a Republican senator dies and they can get through some of these very progressive policies that the market doesn't like. So those are some of the things that you watch. But look, there's always something to fear. My whole career, there's always something to fear. You just have to make adjustments if they happen.
I agree. I mean, the market definitely doesn't like uncertainty. But there are some certain things as we're getting towards the end of the year on some housekeeping items and things to think about with your CPA and discussions that we're focused on and having with our clients is, you know, harvesting tax losses. This is a good time of the year where you can take a look at your non-retirement accounts, and you know your capital losses will first offset your capital gains. And if your capital losses exceed those gains, you can offset up to $3,000 into other income. Second thing is, you know, you look out for mutual fund capital gain distributions. This will probably be a pretty big year for that. The mutual funds are required to distribute 98% of their net capital gains each year to avoid an excise tax. So that data is out, and there could be possibly things to do there to avoid that. And please be careful, you know, buying mutual funds at this point. You don't want to get slapped with a capital gains tax if you've only owned it for just a few days. Another thing, too, is a lot of income has been disrupted in 2020. Your tax rates might change, and it might make sense for some people to do a Roth IRA conversion, which basically is taking the taxable portion of your regular IRA and convert that into a Roth and then realize that ordinary income in this year. It could make sense. Once again, talk with your CPA, and we'd be more than happy to have that discussion to see if it makes sense for you. Another thing is you are not required, because of the CARES Act, to take required minimal distributions this year if you do not need it. So remember, you have that option. Other than that, we've got a lot of resources at UBS. We don't want to inundate you with too much information, but if you would like any newsletters, like we have a weekly newsletter called the Washington Weekly that gives you everything that's going on in Washington in an unbiased way. They give the facts every single week, and it can be emailed to your box. Let me know if you want to be on that newsletter chain or that subscription. But other than that, we're here for you. If you want to have any discussions about your portfolio or anything that's going on out there, feel free to reach out to us. Love to talk with you. We're here for you. And we hope that everybody has a happy and safe Thanksgiving. And that's the end of our call today. And we hope you found this time valuable. Please take care and have a happy Thanksgiving.